It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, Happy New Year. How are you?
To Marie, to you, Rachel. I'm great, thanks. And the Ronettes, that was a blast from the past.
It is. It's a beautiful song, that one.
It is. It takes me back to my childhood.
Well, we've got three things to talk about this morning. The first one being the big volcano just offshore in Tonga. Now, this is going to have, I mean, it has huge reverberations around Aotearoa. We have a huge Tongan population. These are our very close neighbours. What are the conversations you're having with the Tongan community here in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment?
Yeah, look, I was on the phone yesterday to Jenny Salesa, who together with Anahela Sui Suiki have set up a Tongan relief fund to enable Tongans and New Zealanders and other New Zealanders to provide support to families and villages back in Tonga, but also been in touch with the Minister for Pacific Peoples and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And there's a couple of things I think that we as Aucklanders can do to help. Firstly, we know, I mean, what the volcano produces is, not only that awful ash, but a sulfuric acid that will have polluted many of the water supplies. And what I've indicated through to Foreign Affairs is that if we have any professional and technical expertise that can help in Tonga, we will provide that assistance through a scheme that MFAT runs, together with local government in New Zealand. And we also have a residual trust fund that may be able to provide some direct assistance to the people in Tonga as well. But yeah, we've got a huge population of Tongan people, and in particularly here in Tamaki Makaurau. And I think the terrible thing is the uncertainty at the moment. Because the cable has been severed, nobody knows exactly what's happening. We've seen some of the videos that have come back on social media, ironically, and we know that there's at least one woman that was swept away while trying to rescue her dogs. She was running a dog rescue centre. And there may be other casualties, but there will be a lot of damage, particularly on the west coast. And I think that New Zealand and Australia and other Pacific nations will want to rally around Tonga and provide what assistance may be needed there.
In terms of supporting our Tongan whānau here in Tamaki Makaurau, is there anything being set up to help with particularly, I know that contact is a huge issue at the moment, but just a kind of support network for the communities that are anxiously waiting to hear from loved ones. Is there much going on in that space at the moment?
Yeah, I think the Tonga Relief Committee, I think it is being called, being set up by Jenny Salesa and by Anahela, will be trying to coordinate efforts within the Tongan community itself. And of course, Opito Williams-Seo, as the Minister for Pacific Peoples, is also acting as a conduit. And we're trying to find out as much information. The P-20 Orion plane went up yesterday. We haven't yet seen the photographs, but they say that the extent of the devastation is widespread. And we're about to send up a couple of at least one, maybe two naval vessels. The Canterbury, which was commissioned actually when I was Minister of Defence, is purpose-built for this. It had a desalination plant on board so it can provide water supplies, but it's also made to take up cargo. The real problem that we have, because of the poor communication at the moment, is to know exactly what Tonga wants, so that what we're taking up to them is what they need, not what we think they need.
Yeah. Well, we'll be following this very closely and thinking of anybody who's got family that they're anxiously waiting to hear from at the moment. It's a very scary time. But let's talk about something a little bit closer to home and something that we come back to often on I guess, any sort of Auckland topic. It's the rain, which we've not actually had any of, really, this month, and we're not really forecast to have any for quite some time. Our dams are still looking quite good at the moment, but is there any conversation about if we need to be preemptively looking at conservation for water in the city? What's happening in that space at the moment?
Well, I think the short answer is we should always be looking at not wasting water and conserving it. And as somebody that's lived for the last 30 years on tank water, I'm pretty up with that. Yeah, it has been really dry. Much has been promised and very little delivered this month. We've had the occasional shower, overnight shower, but no serious rain to think of. The good news is that December, we had 124% of the normal level of rainfall, so that was well above normal. But interestingly, in December, and I haven't got the January figures yet, obviously, because we're only partway through the month, but December, I'm advised that our temperatures were 2.8 degrees centigrade above average. That will make it, one of the warmest Decembers that we had on record. And NIWA is saying that 2021 is now officially New Zealand's hottest year on record. Mm. And guess what? The last 7 years of temperatures have been the hottest 7 years since records began in 1908. So if I don't think we have on BFM many climate change deniers, but if you are one of those, think again. And this makes all the more important the initiative that I'm consulting on next month to try to raise $1 billion that through a climate action targeted rate that can help us actually deal with the things that are contributing from Auckland's perspective to our own carbon emissions. Now, you know, $1 billion is a lot of money. It's a drop in the bucket for what we'll probably need overall. It's also, you know, adds up to about $1.10 a week for the average price property in Auckland. So it's a relatively small charge, but a huge investment in the future for our kids because, you know, you just know the recent years that we've had with drought, extreme weather conditions, and higher temperatures are a sign of what's going to accelerate in the future and cost us dearly.
Is this going to be the council's focus this year when it comes to climate targets? What are the targets that the council has set and are aiming for this year?
Well, we've got an ambitious target, going to be hard to achieve, but not impossible to achieve, of reducing our transport emissions by 64% by 2030. Now, that's that's a huge reduction and more ambitious than what the government is setting. But transport is, you know, for most parts of the country, it's agriculture that's creating, you know, methane, etc. But for Auckland, the major cause of climate warming gases is from transport, about 43%. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to improve our public transport. Now, we had a blow to that because of COVID. We were accelerating, you know, we'd hit 103 million passenger trips a year just before COVID hit. That's been slashed back by two-thirds. But as we get out of COVID, those figures are going to recover and do even better. So we've got the City Rail Link, which we had the tunnel breakthrough just before Christmas, was a great event to be at. We've got light rail announcement coming this month. But the immediate thing we can do is improve the accessibility and the frequency of our bus services. And we're doing things like the Eastern Busway that opened just the other day, which is a bus dedicated lane out between Panmure and Pakuranga that'll go through to Britomart and then to Manukau and to the airport. So there's a whole lot of things that we need to do there. And of course, we're also looking at a more intensive city in terms of housing, which is also going to be critical to reducing our carbon emissions over time. So these are big issues. We've been absolutely focused on COVID the last 2 years. But, you know, when COVID's long forgotten, climate change is going to be affecting us, our kids and grandkids.
Well, just to round us off with another topic we come back to often, let's just briefly talk about Omicron, which is something that we're, you know, preparing for when it does eventually come out into the community. What is that going to be meaning for the council, and particularly as we talk about public transport, things like that, which, you know, are necessities, people need them to get around. We also know they're going to be sites of potentially some spread. How is those potential situations being looked at from a preventative angle from the council and your, I guess, facilities and partners?
Yeah, well, I'm due to have a conversation with Minister Aisha Verrill today, and the government will be making an announcement maybe later this week or maybe next week on further steps that are being taken. Let's start off with the positive. The really good news is we had 7 new cases in Auckland yesterday, 7, and that's Delta. We haven't had Omicron yet, but, you know, Delta was hard to eradicate. We were just talking about, you know, before Delta being, you know, after the previous variant was far more contagious and you couldn't get on top of it. Well, 16 cases across the country and 7 in Auckland. That's been a fantastic track record. And I've just got somebody just delivered to my desk the latest figures for vaccination in Auckland. Let me tell you them. For the first vaccination, Waitemata, 96%. Auckland, 99%.
Wow.
99%. That must be world-beating. And Counties Manukau, 95%. Fully vaccinated, 94% Waitemata, 97% Auckland, 93% Counties Manukau. And, of course, we've had 750,000-plus booster doses, and we started vaccinating kids. So all of those things are critically important to Omicron. Omicron, less lethal, it seems, but will end up killing a lot of people because it's so widely transmitted.
Yeah.
But the best thing that we can do is what we have all, as Aucklanders, have already done, and that's go out and get vaxxed. We get all this media coverage of the anti-vaxxers. It means that in Auckland District Health Board area, 1% of the population haven't got vaxxed. That gives you an idea, not of the noise of the anti-vaxxers, but the scale of reach that they have. And that's important. But, you know, all the other things, it's good to see around town, you know, and in my building now, we've got half of our staff back in the building. People that are wearing masks, they're observing the protocols, they're checking in with the QR codes, etc. All of those things are important. And the government just before Christmas announced that they were putting more resources into ICU. Fortunately, I think our ICU cases were down to 2 or 3. But, you know, when Omicron comes, and it will come, because you can't keep it out, it's so prevalent around the world, that's going to change the scene completely.
Well, we hope we can stave it off for as long as possible. And as
Absolutely.
You say, get as many people boosted as possible so that we've got a better chance of handling it when it does come out. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's great to have you back on the show this year. We'll talk to you again next week.
Good to be back with you in 2022. Take care.
Kia pai tōra.
Okay. Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.